is currently in the arena soaking in this currently a bloodbath as we speak. He is Daryl Ryder, a Browns insider, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What do you think of the court, Daryl?
You mentioned bloodbath. I think that is someone's artery was opened up. And it just spilled all over the floor. Red is my favorite color. And I like various shades of red. That's a little much even for me.
I noticed last year with the courts, like the Bulls red court looked awesome in pictures. And then when it was on TV, yeah, it just didn't look very good. The red just doesn't work for this concept for whatever reason. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like the corporatized look that everyone in the NBA has the same floor. It's just done in their colors. The one thing I do like is the subtle design that they have with the lanes. You can the center, the Cavs V logo that they came up with a couple of years ago. If you look closely, if you're looking down the floor as opposed to from center court, if you're looking from one, you can actually see that logo, melted in there a little bit, which I think is pretty cool. But yeah, the red is a bit much, but it reminds me of like a playground floor. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? Like you're just hooping on the playground. That's kind of what it reminds me of, but it's something the NBA came up with. Unfortunately, the Cavs are not going to get extra credit for running the Wizards out of the building. At one point though, we noticed in the second quarter, the Cavs had 3 points, but the Wizards had six, and the Cavs were still up a dozen. And you could hear a pin drop in the building because everyone was just bored out of their mind. Then Darius Garland made a couple of plays and everyone woke up again. So, this has been a rather uneventful game. It's kind of like the Cavs are just trying to handle their business tonight. Like they're going to work. This is their job tonight. They're going to work. They're handling their business. And win number 19 appears to be in the offing.
We will write it in pen because it does seem like it's pretty much over at this point. Daryl,
if there's one thing I've learned, you never write anything in pen.
That's true.
When it comes to sports, never write in pen.
People can blame me if they blow it now, but they're up 20 points as we
okay.
speak. Daryl, yeah, we heard from Kevin Stefanski, obviously, today, sort of the post-mortem press conference via Zoom after last night's loss. And one of the biggest things that stood out was obviously his comments on Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, which to continue to kind of just stay mum on the subject. Do you think we see him again at all this season?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. I think we'll see him again on a football field.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because I was going to say, is there concern about his career? I started with this season, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about this particular season. Kevin really has not wanted to say anything about JOK when we've asked him. He's always kind of punted. He punts just about every question he gets, but especially that particular question, when he says he doesn't know, he knows. He just doesn't want to say, obviously, and clearly he's trying to be respectful of whatever it is that JOK is dealing with while he's on injured reserve. Clearly he's not coming off injured reserve now for this week to play against Pittsburgh and put that to rest. And, we just wait and see, and, hopefully he's able to come back and, play again. But most importantly, hopefully he's just okay.
You asked Kevin Stefanski point blank today about Jedrick Wills, kind of in the same vein where he hasn't played
Speaking
in several weeks.
On questions.
Yeah, really. He hasn't obviously played in several weeks, and where JOK is on the IR, so his season very well could be over, and we just don't know. Jedrick Wills is kind of in limbo because they're not placing him on the IR, and they just kind of keep telling us, well, he's working to get back. Do you think we've seen the last of him for this season and maybe ever in a Browns uniform?
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand what they're doing with him. I would have put him on IR.
Yeah.
Once that whole escapade came with the business decision and all that, and the knees acting up, I would have just been like, we're going to put you on IR, sit out, get the knee right. And instead of doing this week to week where we have to go in every day and ask Kevin, is Jed going to practice? What's his prospects for this week? Is he, you know, it's becoming monotonous at this point. So I just figured since I had posted that on social media, I think it was late last week or when it was before this upcoming game. I just said I wanted to just put him on IR. So I felt it was only fair that I asked Kevin directly about that. And once again, he punted on the question. And, you know, he says that we're going to get an update tomorrow, or he'll have an update tomorrow. So let's see what he has to say there. But, that knee clearly did not heal the way it needed to. He missed the first 2 weeks of the season. He's missed four of the last 5 weeks now. So, you know, I'm not overly optimistic, but, that's another one of those. We'll have to wait and see.
Talking with our Browns insider, Darrell Ryder, here on the show. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Jerry Jeudy is leading the league in receiving yards since week eight, since Jameis Winston took over. And he is now fifth. He's now fifth in the league in terms of receiving yards overall. We know he had the tremendous performance last night, most yards in a game against their former team ever in NFL history. At this point, Darrell, are you comfortable saying, or do you believe that Jerry Jeudy is a bona fide number one wide receiver?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far, but it just goes to show you what can happen when you have a competent quarterback that can actually throw the football. Obviously Jerry was very motivated last night.
Yeah.
To really, stick it to the Broncos and show off. And so that is a night, obviously, he won't forget. I'd say I'd like to see some consistency out of him, but we have, to be fair to Jerry, I mean, we've seen some consistency, but see, here's the difference. He's getting opportunities. I think the last three games that he played with Deshaun, he got one catch in each of those games. And then Jameis comes in and now he's going to 6, 7, 8, 9 catches a game. So it's about opportunity. And with a lot of these guys, when you just, from a professional standpoint, they become salty and surly when they're not getting those opportunities. And look, I think that was part of his problem in Denver. It was a bad situation. They had bad quarterback situations out there. He was frustrated by that. He was, obviously that impacts how he plays on the field, the focus, the motivation, and that, the drop passes and stuff like that, got pointed out, like that's all understandable, but that, he seems to be energized now that Jameis is out there and Jameis can actually throw the damn football. So, I mean, it's not a surprise to me that he has, kind of exploded here. I mean, Elijah Moore, same thing, right? David Njoku, same thing. Like, it's amazing when you have somebody that can throw the football and read a defense, even if he's going to throw a few pick sixes, there's something to be said for, that energy flowing through the locker room. And like, you just feel that with Jameis. Always get concerned when guys are, soundbite guys, right? That, okay, do they do more talking than they do playing? And Jameis, he's not an elite player. That's why he's a backup. That's why he ended up here. But like, just look what he's been able to do. And, he's going to win you some games. You can be a 500 football team with him as your quarterback. And, hey, maybe you get a little Kansas City Chiefs luck or whatever that happens to go your way. But, you just don't have a guy out there that's, throwing for less than 200 yards a game like you had, right? And an offense that couldn't pick up a first down to save their soul and things like that. So, I think that, this change has breathed some life into some guys, and that's why you're seeing them, perform at a much better level on the field.
You brought up Elijah Moore there, and for him, it's the second consecutive year that a quarterback change really benefited his involvement, his performances. He's looked really, really good the last couple weeks as well with Jameis throwing to him. Is there, obviously we know Jerry Jeudy's here next year. Like, he signed the contract extension. Moore, a little more kind of cloudy in terms of what his future looks like because he's playing on the last year of his deal. Do you think there's a future for Elijah Moore back with this team in 2025?
Well, I mean, if this keeps up, sure. Because then you can go back and you can look and say, hey, who's throwing the ball? Who's running the offense? And again, when you're not getting those opportunities, I mean, Elijah was clearly frustrated early in the season. And I get it. And now he's getting those opportunities and he's less frustrated and he's happier. And his play is reflecting that. So if things continue to trend this direction, yeah, sure. I don't know necessarily that I'm going to break the bank to keep him, but the other potential is that he's up in his free agency value, right? And that's another reason why he's going to be happy, because he knows he's going to be a free agent. And if he's getting opportunities to catch footballs and score points and do all those things, that means he's going to make some more money in March.
Just a couple more minutes here with our Browns insider, Darryl Ryder. Along the lines of the receiver position, we talked about Jedrick Wills a little bit earlier in this conversation as well. We know there's other areas that they'll have to address. But sitting here today, Darryl, knowing the Browns finally have a first-round pick back in their disposal after 4 years without one or 3 years without one, what would you consider like the top priority for the Browns via the draft right now?
Offensive line.
Agreed.
Number one priority has to be. First of all, it's an old offensive line. It's an expensive offensive line. Jed Wills is not going to be back or shouldn't be back. Maybe DeJuan. I mean, DeJuan's been hurt twice now. He's got a knee and now broken ankle. So he went from being a prime prospect to me to where his stock has dropped a little bit because of the injuries. And just, I wasn't crazy how he came back from the knee injury and the shape that he was in. But then as we got deeper into the season, he got in better shape and he started to play really, really well before he got hurt. And then they moved him over to the left side and he really played well. And you sit there and say, oh, wow, this guy can play some left tackle. Maybe he can replace Jed Wills, but no, they absolutely should in the first round of the draft go with an offensive lineman. I know that's not a sexy pick for fans. It's not an exciting pick, but as Phil Savage told me once, sometimes you got to go for the meat and potatoes and leave the dessert until after you're done with the meat and potatoes.
Look at you still thinking back to Thanksgiving last week with the meat and potatoes reference. I like it.
That's right. Don't be eating the dessert before you, because here's the problem. Here's the problem. You eat your dessert and it ruins your meal, right? That's what mom used to tell us. So it's so true. You look at over the years at a lot of those Browns drafts where, they were drafting the skill positions and they weren't doing much in the trenches. And what happened, right? So,
yeah,
you got to get that solidified in the trenches. So I really feel like offensive line needs to be their top priority. I know there's a couple of receivers that folks are crazy about right now, but look, you got Judy. Maybe you keep more. Cedric Tillman has shown some signs. So I don't know necessarily that they got to be drafting skill position players with that first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, there's a coach down I-71 who focused on dessert and hasn't focused on the meat and potatoes, mm-hmm. and look where it's got him. So, yeah, not great.
Yeah, that defense is awful down in Cincinnati. My goodness gracious, Joe Burrow is having himself. You look at that, and he's probably beside himself right now. Could you imagine if Joe Burrow played for the Cleveland Browns, how good this team would be?
Oh, man. Don't even get me started. I would have loved if they could have got him that year he came out. Darryl, along the lines, since you bring up a division rival, we know Pittsburgh's obviously coming up this weekend. A chance to sweep the Steelers for the first time since 1988. What would that mean for this franchise, even in a lost season, to pull off something like that?
Yeah, I'll say this. I'd love to see it just to shut those guys up, because that's all they did was complain about, oh, the snow is why the Browns won that game, instead of, I don't know, why don't you man up and play better in the snow? Like, So I would love to see that, because they're just a bunch of whiny crybabies in Pittsburgh. Their team is good every year, and it's still not enough for them. I'd take Mike Tomlin. I mean, I like Kevin Stefanski, don't get me wrong, but like, I would take Mike Tomlin's resume here in a heartbeat. Unfortunately, when you're talking about momentum week to week, I just don't think that really exists in football as much as it might in other sports, because there's just such gaps between games. You know what I mean? But I think if anything, it gives the Browns some bragging rights if they can sweep the Steelers. Because, like you said, that hasn't been done since the 1980s. Hell, they haven't won a division since the 1980s. Well, they still haven't won a division since the 80s, because they're not going to do it this year. But The chirping that came out of Pittsburgh because of the weather, I'm sure has not been lost on the Browns locker room. I'm sure they saw and read and heard all of that.
Darryl, I know you're at the game right now. When you get home later tonight, are you going to go back and watch Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
And are you going to do the Leonardo DiCaprio Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and like point out if they use one of your questions on the show?
No. No, because I really don't care about that. But, yeah, I got to watch it. I'm interested to see how far back they're going to go. I don't think it's too far back because the crew didn't arrive until last week.
Yeah.
Now, they had the Thursday night prime game. There was an NFL Films crew there. But, yeah, they're not I think that they're just picking this thing up from the snowball against the Steelers going forward. But – there shouldn't be much of anything when it comes to usage of Brown stuff outside of Jameis and Miles, because the story right now is the Steelers and the Ravens in this division, and thankfully that's what the show's going to focus on.
He's Darryl Ryder, a Browns insider here at 92.3. The Fan does a tremendous job covering the Cleveland Browns. You can find him on Twitter at Right or Wrong Fan. Darryl, appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. I'll let you get back to enjoying a blowout at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Yeah, it's halftime and this thing's over, and they're just going to kind of, I think, do their homework in the second half. It's 60-42. So, they should be feeling pretty good about what they did in the first half, and they just got to put in another 24 minutes.
At least it's an easy story night for you then.
Exactly.
Darryl, always appreciate it, my man. Thank you.
You bet.
Darryl Ryder, our Browns insider here on The Fan. Let's reflect a little bit on what Darryl had to say about the number one wide receiver conversation. How much credit does Andrew Berry deserve in a year where we're trying to give him a lot of blame for landing Jerry Jeudy? Also, will we be as romantic about a certain player if the circumstances around this season were a little bit different? We'll talk about all those things coming up here on 92.3 The Fan. And I think as long as he continues doing, not expecting to put up 235 yards every night, but as long as he keeps doing something productive the way he has these last 5 weeks, I think like he can fit that role, and you're just looking for a supporting actor to play alongside him this offseason. By the way, you just heard from Darryl Ryder last segment. He and Andy Baskin are the hosts of the Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast. Jameis Winston, the offense, continue to be the biggest story for the Browns in the final month of the season. And Darryl and Andy will talk about it all in their latest podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game episodes after every single matchup. Subscribe to the podcast now at 92.3thefan.com in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. 216-474-0092. Do you believe that Jerry Jeudy has proven that he is a number one wide receiver in football? Or for the Browns, I should say. Because, listen, I said it earlier. I understand where there's still maybe some hesitancy from people in terms of if he's truly that guy. Like, if he's truly like a Justin Jefferson type. And I think maybe that's the first problem. It's like putting him on the pedestal of Justin Jefferson is just silly. Like, you can be a number one wide receiver. Amari Cooper's been a number one wide receiver. I don't know that we thought Amari Cooper was Justin Jefferson. So, like, it doesn't have to be that he's the best of the best. But is he a number one wide receiver? I think he's proven that right in front of us. And if that's the case, then like I said, maybe that slips down your priority list a little bit, where you're using your first-round pick on what Darryl alluded to, the meat and potatoes of this roster, the offensive line, which is getting older, and trying to bolster that group and trying to, you know, get back to dominating the trenches would be a good start for Cleveland. But along those lines, because we have all been very critical of Andrew Berry for good reason, for some of the failed draft picks that he has produced to this point. His inability to draft and develop wide receivers has been one of the most egregious lapses of his time here in Cleveland. But what I will say, he has been a wizard at acquiring wide receivers via trade. He did it with Amari Cooper, where I forget the compensation, but it was like very minuscule compensation to land Amari Cooper and get you a borderline top 10 wideout in football who clearly, you know, lived up to the expectations and the hype here in Cleveland by giving you like the record-setting performance last year and back-to-back seasons of 1,000 yards, which is something that no Browns wide receiver had ever done. Like, he was phenomenal. In the 2 years he was here, I understand this year it went south and went sour pretty quickly. But in the 2 years he was here playing at a high level, that trade was an absolute win for Andrew Berry. And again, despite his inability to draft and develop them, he's now done the same thing in my estimation with Jerry Jeudy. Banked on, you know, bought low on a guy, fifth and sixth round picks this past draft is what he gave up for Jerry Jeudy, a former first round pick. And clearly they saw something in his game. Actually, Kevin Stefanski talked about it a little bit today in his Zoom press conference, where he said, like, the rack, the running after the catch, was something that really caught their attention with Jerry on top of, like, his route running ability. And so they tapped into that. And it has paid dividends. Like, I understand it took a while because you had the wrong quarterback out there. But that wasn't a Jerry Jeudy problem. That was a quarterback problem. The quarterback at the beginning of the season dragged down the entire offense. I mean, even Elijah Moore is feasting. And even Elijah Moore, I guess, could be part of this conversation, because I understand he hasn't had, like, amazing numbers, and the end-around sort of scat stuff they tried to do with him last year just did not work, and that was a scheme thing, and it was silly to try to use him in that role. But even he, with a good quarterback out there, or a competent quarterback out there, has seen success. He has been able to, you know, produce at a high level and do some things that you traded for him to do. And it's why, like, I asked Daryl, like, is there a pathway where he is on this roster again next year, playing in the last year of his deal right now, and he comes back and can be a player for, can be a rotational or depth receiver in this room once again next year. Some of that might depend on who the quarterback is, but I do think there's a conversation to be had there. And so there's that. And then, like I said, there's the Jerry Jeudy element here. What he's done the last 5 weeks has been impressive. And if he goes on to be, like I'm sort of estimating here, a number one wide receiver, this trade was an absolute steal yet again by Andrew Berry. So clearly he's able to recognize what makes a wide receiver talented, what fits what they're trying to do with wide receivers. Like, he can find the skill sets that they're looking for and maximize it on this team. It just seems to be that his hiccup, his speed bump, comes when he has to draft a guy out of college and turn him into that receiver that they're looking to sort of build, the prototypical guy that they're looking to add to the roster. I don't know what it is. Maybe nobody knows what it is, but that is kind of the sense that I get, is he's aced these wide receiver trades, even though he's missed on the wide receiver draft picks. And so in a year where we're looking to point the finger at Andrew Berry for the roster construction, and again, I'm not telling you not to. I am not begrudging you as the fans of this team from calling out Andrew Berry and saying, listen, you got to be better. This roster was supposed to win Super Bowls and it isn't there. Your name is on you're the face of the Deshaun Watson trade because you're the GM. And so this stuff didn't work out. You got to own it. I understand being critical of Andrew Berry. It's all very valid and fair. But in a time where we're having those conversations and we're looking to sort of point the finger at him, is there also room to give him some credit here for the trades that he's made for wide receivers that have produced results? Most recently, Jerry Jeudy, who had a night last night in Denver, and at least from my estimation, is putting up wide receiver one type numbers. And what's crazy about it too, it's like Jerry was late to the game on that. He's now top five in receiving yards this season. And he was late to the game because the first 7 weeks of the year, he had a decent connection with Deshaun Watson. We saw during training camp, and it was the one guy that he would sort of look to, Deshaun would, when he needed a play. But he was so far behind after those first seven games. And in 5 weeks, he's made up all kinds of ground in the race for, you know, the receiving yards leader, because of how good Jameis Winston's been and how those two together have just produced like a beautiful symphony of music on the football field. It's been awesome to watch. I think they have the number one guy. I do think while there's room to criticize Andrew Berry, he does deserve some credit for making another trade for a wide receiver, and it right now looking like he's going to sort of win that bet, betting on a guy who hadn't really come to fruition to this point in his, early in his career, and they're reaping the benefits of it here in Cleveland right now because he had the foresight to make that deal. 216-474-92. You're giving Andrew Berry some credit, despite some of his misses in the draft, on nailing another wide receiver trade for the Cleveland Browns. We'll get your thoughts on it at 216-474-92. You can hit me up on Twitter as well, at Spencito underscore, if you want to jump in on the show. When we get back, sticking with the Browns, we are feeling very romantic about a certain player on this team. Would that be the case if the circumstances were a little bit different? We'll talk about it next. It's Spencer Jim with you till 11 o'clock on the night show here on The Fan. But I am curious to see what kind of plays out from there because, yeah, like how much will they actually use of Jameis Winston is like the one thing that's going to keep the Browns relevant in this in-season version. Because every day he is a soundbite dream for programs like this, shows like this. It's going to be, okay, what's Jameis saying today? I mean, just last night, he basically took like a line from the Our Father and said he wants God to deliver him from pick sixes. Like, guy's just a content machine. And so he's the one thing that'll keep the Browns relevant on this show. But we know, like Daryl alluded to, it's going to be about it's going to be about the Steelers. It's going to be about the Ravens and their push towards the postseason. And it'll just kind of be what it is. But still worth a watch. I plan on, because the show starts in 15 minutes, I plan on going home tonight and seeing if I can make it through without falling asleep, because I'm pretty tired. It's been a long couple of days, weeks, since the Thursday night football game where I barely slept that night. I still feel like I'm kind of getting caught up on things. So we'll see if we can make it through the full episode. I might have to finish it tomorrow, but I am looking forward to this and seeing what is said from or how they kind of tell the story of that game the other night from a couple weeks ago. And yeah, it should be enjoyable. I actually was going to ask like what you're most excited about seeing in this version of Hard Knocks, because I think the Jameis Winston part of it from a Browns fan perspective makes sense, but also Mike Tomlin is full of some of the best coach lines like ever. Say what you want about the Steelers, I think we all at least respect Mike Tomlin in this town, and that guy, the Tomlinisms, how many of those is he going to pull out at a time during the every week of Hard Knocks? And I'm fascinated to see what that looks like and what he sort of throws out there. He is just a quote machine. He's not quite Jameis Winston, like entertaining, sort of goofy, but the stuff he says is always amazing. He has such a way with words as a coach. So I'm kind of interested in the Tomlinisms that get thrown out there, and we'll see what that looks like. Also, guys, I'll say this. I saw the official trailer for the first episode and for this season's Hard Knocks. I don't want to say Kevin Stefanski is a liar per se, but I do think he's kind of full of crap. The guy literally is caught on video. And if you guys haven't seen the trailer, go look it up before the show actually starts here in about 13 minutes, 12 minutes, because it's basically like they go around team facility to team facility, and they're giving you clips from each coach in a team meeting setting, talking to their guys and kind of laying out like, here's what's at stake and here's what's happening and blah, blah, blah. We got to get a good day of work in and like motivating their guys and pumping them up. And it's like you hear like one of the coaches talking as they're still wrapping up the one scene. It cuts to the next one. It's like an above shot. You get like, you know, the Browns facility in Berea. There's the Steelers facility along the river there. There's the Ravens facility, which I'd never actually seen before on camera. So that was kind of new for me. But yeah, you go around. And the Kevin Stefanski cut of this, when he's in this team meeting, he throws up on the screen this sort of timeline. And his whole point is, you wanted to be in the playoffs, you made the playoffs. I actually think it's a really good sort of tactic by him. He was basically trying to say that where they're at in the schedule because of how the season is gone, that the playoffs basically started for them back in week 12 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like he was throwing it out there like, this is the playoffs. Playoffs start now for you. So you're in. You made the playoffs. Congratulations to you. Let's see what we can do now from here. And I kind of liked like the way he again, as we talk about like not losing the locker room, it was kind of an interesting way to approach it. And I like that. But the reason I say that I think he's kind of full of crap, Stefanski goes out there every day and he tells us in the media, yeah, we're just focused on today. We're just focused on getting a good day of work in today. I saw in this clip him laser pointing to the fact that they got the Steelers and then they got the Broncos and then they got the Steelers again. And then they got the Chiefs, and then they got the Bengals, and then they got the Dolphins, and then they got the Ravens. And he was going through like, you got four division teams, you got two other really good AFC teams. This is what lies ahead on our playoff route. And I don't know. I felt a little lied to. I felt a little betrayed by Kevin Stefanski. I mean, listen, he goes to the podium every day. And he tells you, we're just focused on today. He said that about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He said that about Jet Wills. He said, we don't have an update. He's trying to get back out there and play every single day, and we'll just kind of see what happens. Okay, well, great, I guess. Like, everything's about, like, we're focused on today. We're not looking too far ahead. It's going 1-0. That's always his themes, right? Those are the same things he throws at every single week. And here he was looking ahead. He was caught on camera looking ahead, pointing out what the schedule looks like. So the next time, like, I don't know if he's ever done it, but I am now curious if he has, where he's like, oh yeah, who do we, like he does like the, yeah, I don't even really know who we're playing next week. I'm so focused on this week. Like, nope, I don't believe you anymore. You know, because you threw it up on that screen in the Hard Knocks trailer and you laser pointed at all the teams and you laid it out and said like, here's this team, here's that team. You're in the playoffs now. You got to win all these games if you want to have a shot at the Super Bowl. So I know he knows the schedule. Don't be trying to slip one past me, Kevin Stefanski. I know you know that schedule, and I know that you are looking ahead. It's not just one game at a time. You know what games are coming up. You know after this, you got the Kansas City Chiefs coming into town. You know Taylor Swift's going to be in that stadium watching Travis Kelce's homecoming game. And you know that's going to be a big old show for everybody around the NFL to see Taylor Swift at Cleveland Brown, almost slipped up there, Huntington Bank Field. You know the Bengals are in line after that. You know the Dolphins are supposed to be on Sunday Night Football, but that ain't happening. And you know you end the season with the Ravens. So no, it's not just one game at a time, because I know you're looking ahead. I caught you. You got caught red-handed, Kevin Stefanski. I knew it. Hard Knocks, man. This is why they're around, because they give us the behind-the-scenes look and truth into these people. Same way they did with the Giants during the offseason edition of it. And we found out John Mara didn't really want to move on from Saquon Barkley because he was their identity, and then they did it anyway. Somebody's getting fired for that, right? I mean, they have to. They absolutely have to. 216-474-0092. Are you watching Hard Knocks tonight? And what are you most looking forward to about the in-season series? We will talk about why we're romantic about a certain player right now, but I don't know that that would be the case if circumstances were a little bit different. Also, guys, there is a holiday tradition that is a point of contention in my household, and it may just ruin future Christmases for my family. We'll talk about that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. It is Spencer German with you here till 11 o'clock on 92.3 The Fan.